Good morning.
Good morning. Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can, yes.
Okay, perfect.
Are you sharing something?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you just freaked me out a little bit. I'm going, what the hell's wrong with my computer?
Nope, I'm in there, I'm messing around, sorry.
Like, stop scaring me.
I will try not to scare anyone. It's Friday and I'm not trying to make the week any harder than it needs to be, I promise.
Okay. Now listen, I told Valerie I was going to go over at 11 because I forgot about this one here. Well, is it okay if I leave at 11 on this one?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. We've got just a couple of things up front that we're going to talk about on the agenda. And then once we do that, we'll get into kind of what I shared here. So we'll take care of that first and then get you out the door.
Okay, thank you.
No worries. Good morning, everyone. We're still waiting on, I think, on a couple more people, and then we'll get started.
seems to get old because I was just looking at the jail roster and I was like, 1999. Person was born. Oh, we are in 2020. I'm cannabis in 20.
Thanks in 20, but still old, not old enough to be in jail.
All right, good morning. Hope everyone's doing well today. It is Friday. I think we got mostly everybody in. Where Fennel County is, are we missing anyone on your group?
Laura and I are here. Michael, this is Sheila, and I think Mary is supposed to be on here. I'm not sure if she's on yet, but she's
okay.
She asked me if I was coming.
And I apologize, they switched out our state computers and now my camera's not working. So Sheila, unfortunately, I still don't get to see you face-to-face yet.
Well, I'm usually not on the camera. I usually turn it off.
Oh, I do too, but it's good.
But I'm in the office today, so I had to do my hair.
A voice and a name finally, so.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to meet you finally. One of these days we'll get to meet in person.
I know.
Michael, this is Laura Smith. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I met you years ago when you came. I'm the accountant here in Warfano County, the new accountant. But I met you years ago when you came to our economic development meetings.
I do remember, Laura. Good to see you again. Hear you again, I should say.
Oh, anyhow, no, I don't want to see
you. I turned the camera so they could see.
You're dragging up some old stomping ground there for me. It's been a while.
Yeah, when I heard you were there, and I'm like, oh. Met him a long time ago.
Well, good. I'm glad to see you. Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, you too.
We're both. Well, I wish I could say I'm new, but I think my honeymoon phase ended after week one. So, once the pandemic hit, and now the budget crunches, I'm kind of like, yeah, I've been here for a while. So, I don't know at all, but I act like I do. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's go ahead and get started because I know some folks need to jump off this morning for other meetings, so I just wanted to touch base with everyone. One of the things that Lori, Bob, and I have kind of sat down and discussed over the last 4.5 months that I've been here is really about doing some more outreach with Warfano County, as you guys are part of one of the only bi-county programs we have through Single Entry Point, and so my intent is to really try to put forth an effort on our end to support and make sure that you guys have everything you need from us and vice versa, and that we can kind of bring to the table any issues, concerns, so we can address those as we move forward. And so my hope is that we can have these quarterly reports to kind of help. This is kind of our kickoff because we're in the new fiscal year, and then we'll meet quarterly to kind of come together and hopefully next round face-to-face and really just make sure we're supporting each other in all of the programming areas. So that's kind of my intent. I do have a couple of items on the agenda that I think, Sheila, you and I have probably kind of touched base on a couple of them in the past, but I just want to make sure that we're moving forward with transparency between both parties, both departments. So, so welcome, everybody. If you have not, let me introduce myself. I'm Michael Aragon. I'm the semi-newly appointed director to Los Angeles County DHS. And so we have our team here on from Los Angeles County and Warfano County. And so now the whole SEP team is together finally. Yay! And Lori Ringo's in my office here with me. I think Bob's next door. So, and if you didn't know, Bob is our single entry point administrator. And Lori is our SEP supervisor here. And so if we have questions or concerns, they're kind of our gurus. Sheila, to start off with, I sent you the, and I apologize for the lateness of it, I did send you the MOU agreement for the new fiscal year between the two counties. I was waiting for the commissioners to sign. So we did get that back. Have you had a chance to review the new single entry point contract?
I have not, because I just got back from vacation. So I will look at that today. I'm sure it's fine. Did you, you said you did get it signed by your commissioners, or you didn't?
Yes, it is signed by ours.
Okay. And I can take it to mine next Tuesday.
That's fine. And we didn't have any changes on the contract as far as the content. The only thing was, and there was a section that I can go over with you after the meeting, where the language matches now between the financial components that we're responsible for. Each county mirrors each other now so that the language is the same. The last contract did not have that. It was a little ambiguity in those. So we tried to tighten that up to make sure that both parties were equally responsible.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll look at that as soon as we're done. Sorry.
Okay. Awesome. So to start off with is payroll and finance. On our end here, I know Christy Coverly, who was our county finance director, is on. And I know, Sheila, we've had some discussions in the past, and I just want to check in to make sure that you guys are feeling comfortable. I know we changed some processes with the invoicing and time reporting piece for Huerfano County. We're not seeing anything on our end as far as issues. We really appreciate you doing that, and it's been really helpful. Are you guys finding that process okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Laura just started doing it because Terry's leaving us the middle of the month, and so Laura will be doing that now, and she seems pretty comfortable with it, so yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and sad to see Terry go. We wish her the best, but Laura, we are glad you're on board, and so if there's any questions or concerns regarding that, let us know, as well as on our end, if, again, we've had to make some adjustments to the Huerfano County side, just to be in compliance with the state mandates based on the audit that came through. One piece I will address that's not on my agenda because it's not a real big piece at this point, but Sheila, we did get all of the audit components finalized, so I believe we are free and clear on that, and as soon as I get the final from the state, Bob will put that into SharePoint so we have documentation of that.
Okay.
Okay.
Great, thanks.
All right. Second piece, again, we kind of touched on it, subcontract and MOU. If you guys, there's been a lot of changes to this year's single entry point contract as far as payments, fee structures, services. I know Lori has tried to digest this massive document multiple times. I have read through it a couple times. So I just want to make sure that you guys are aware. And if you've not seen that contract, and Sheila, I don't know if you go over that with your staff, but I know that Lori does. If you'd like for us to kind of break that down at some point, we can schedule another time to go over that because it is pretty hefty and I don't want to get into that today. But I definitely want to make sure that you guys are aware of the changes. And so if that's something you'd like, let me know.
Is that in the email you sent me with the MOU, or did you send the actual contract separately?
No, the actual contract should have came separately. I sent that off, but let me double check today and make sure that we got that over to you. Because I sent it a while back. We just got it in not long ago, the okay. finalized contract.
I probably will make sure
that. I think it only came in last week.
Yeah. And Mary's saying that she would like to go over the contract.
Okay.
With Lori, so maybe they could get together and do that because Mary knows everything about single entry point more than
okay. So we'll definitely reach out to Mary and get that set up for some time to go over that piece. It might even be beneficial to go through it again with our staff, Lori, at that point. So we'll just schedule a day to a half a day maybe to go through because I think we're going to have a lot of questions on that contract. But I will say the main change to that contract that I think I'm most concerned with is that we understand is how the pay for service structure is going to work. And one of the things that I'm still trying to get clarification on from the state, and maybe Sheila, you and I can have some discussion, maybe you have some points of contact that we can get a hold of. we cannot get clarification on the what they're doing now is identifying either a large county, medium-sized county, or small county, and the rates that we can charge on the provider level is different at each level, but I can't get whether we're considered medium or small.
So it depends on what program you're talking about, and we'll have to get clarification, because for CSTAT, Warfano is a small county, but for child support, we're a medium county.
Right.
So I don't know who determines that and why it changed, because for my 30 years I've been here, we've always been a medium county.
Right. And that's
and all of a sudden for CSTAT, we were always considered small.
My understanding is medium county, but we got the same thing now. All of a sudden, under one, we're small county, and on the other, we're medium.
And so, I guess they put us under medium for SEP, but I don't know that because I've never had to ask that question.
Okay.
But I'm sure we can find somebody to contact.
And I'll reach out to Lauren Miller, too. She's our new county liaison. I don't know if she's your new liaison as well, but she might have somebody that we can get with to get clarification on that, because that is going to be a difference in the structure of how we're paying the provider rates, and also whether or not, which we should qualify for the rural addition to that pay. So those are two pieces that we need to clarify. All right. Any questions or things you have where you want to add to the subcontract piece?
No.
Okay. So if you can just work on getting a date scheduled, so we can get everyone kind of retrained on that contract again, because it is pretty extensive in the changes, and I want to make sure we're okay on that.
Okay.
The next item I have on the agenda is the Home Care Allowance Administrative Fund. Sheila, we, in review of our books, and Christy has spent a exhaustive amount of time going through our financials, getting us back on track with a lot of pieces. And one of the pieces that we discovered was the HCA Administrative Fund. There's an allocation of, I'm sorry, off the top of my head, I think it's around $25,000 or $26,000 that was provided to us last year. What we can deduce is that fund is specific to administrative costs associated with home care allowance services, and we have not utilized those funds at all in the past. And so we really need to identify how, because you guys have obviously way more HCA clients than we do here, we need to identify how we are going to utilize those funds to ensure that we're maximizing those dollars. Were you aware of that fund in the past?
No. In the old contracts, not last year, but the year before, it used to address the HCA cases. And it showed the amount that we received for each of our HCA cases and the amount that Los Animas County kept for their HCA cases.
Okay, so you're getting your own allocation amount then?
No. It's coming from you.
Okay, but it was in
the contract before.
Okay.
So we may need to look at that because
we don't get
our own funding, our own allocation.
Lori.
Sheila, this is Lori. I just wanted to add that it's really interesting this year, probably about 2 weeks, we got a copy of a home care allowance contract. Not requiring anyone's signature, but it was from a different office, a different department, different people are involved, and it seems like they're more organized. I've never seen anything like this in home care allowance ever, where they've organized and sent us a contract, a budget, and a tool for us to make sure we're in compliance with HCA cases. So with all that being said, I feel like we're going to have an audit coming down the road. They're giving us the tools so that we know what we need to comply with so that we can be preparing for an audit. And yeah, Michael, and I know too that when the SEP auditor comes, he always kind of hints about a breakout of expenses for SEP, and home care allowance. Home care allowance is the stepchild of single entry point, and so he's kind of hinted, and maybe they've hinted in administrator meeting, that those expenses should be separate, like mileage should be separate. It should be billed to HCA and not to the STEP general fund. So I just wanted to share that because this is all something new.
So Mary just brought me in a copy of the of your contract, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
We never had this before. And I'm just surprised they didn't even ask for a signature.
And it shows both counties on here, and it looks like it's for 17,000. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, it dropped down from last year. We had about 25 last year, and they dropped it down to 17 this year.
Hmm. I wonder if it's because we weren't utilizing it. I never even knew that this existed.
Yeah, when I got here, we didn't either. And when Christy brought it to my attention, I went to Lori and Bob on that, and we kind of had to go through that process to figure out what that specifically was for, because I don't think in the contract in the past, was that fund allocated or outlined in that, because I didn't see it. It showed the breakout of the counties, but it didn't actually tell us that fund existed. So now we've got this fund that we need to charge to. So, Lori.
So everything home care related needs to be charged to, and I wonder, did they set up accounting codes for that? I'm guessing.
I would assume they did.
CFMS codes? I would hope.
No, Sheila, yeah.
You know, Sheila, I'm not sure either. I'll follow up on that piece and get back to you on it.
Okay. What was the question again? Tell me.
Are there CFMS codes set up for this separate pot of funding for home care allowance for this $17,000? How much is Huerfano and how much is Las Animas?
Oh, see, I don't know about that. Okay, yeah, I don't know that. I was going to say, when the state reports come, it does show HCA SEP monies. It does show that comes through, but I don't know how much is for Huerfano or how much is for the county for us.
And then I would assume, because the contract doesn't actually state anything, Sheila, I would assume it would be by client count. So we would.
That's how it used to be. And I can find an old contract to show you. You know those reports that Mary sends you guys every month?
Uh-huh.
And she breaks out the HCA cases? We used to have that in our contract. It used to show what was SEP and what was HCA. And then I think when the contract changed last year and they made us do the exact amounts instead of the lump sum amounts, that HCA didn't get put back in there, I think. But I don't know why, because I'm not the SEP, and so I didn't have access to all this information.
Okay. Well, we will definitely get that clarified because I would really like to make sure that if with the number of HCA cases that you guys have, clients up there, that you guys are able to maximize those dollars and access them, because I am concerned, Sheila, because we didn't use them last year. I think that's why our allocation actually dropped this year. I mean, I'm sure with the state budget cuts it had to do with it too, but they're paying a lot more attention to, yeah. They're paying a lot more attention to who's utilizing what, and I don't want us to lose that fund to retain it.
Did you know, does this include staff costs? Yeah, it looks like it does. Intake.
It does. It does.
Sheila, that's a separate payment. That comes from CGHS, where the other stuff comes from HICPA.
Oh, well, I've never seen this before. This is the first year I've ever seen it. And if you guys weren't getting it before, then I guess that explains it, huh? So
well, we had
a separated account.
We didn't use it. That's what I was just that we had it and we didn't touch it. So
we understood it was there and that it needed to be utilized separately, because we would need separate codes set up then for our staff to use when they're working with an HCA client as opposed to an HCBS client.
Yes, absolutely. So I will reach out and see if I can find any information on those codes, Sheila, and if I do, then I will share that with the group and with our finance folks so that we can make sure we're all on that same page. Because now my other question would be, though, because that pot is only $17,000, that's going to get exhausted pretty quickly, I would assume. So when that runs out, then, are we allowed to go back to the general step fund?
That would be a good question.
That's a really good question.
I would wonder what the purpose of these funds are for, too, because like with us being the primary staff agency, we have administrative costs, and would a portion of that be for administrative costs?
Right, and I think that's what she was asking, mm-hmm. is there an administrative allocation to them as well, because mm-hmm. they're doing administrative work as well, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe getting more information
okay.
on this.
Michael, it's can crazy. I get a copy of what you guys are looking at with the contract? Can I get a copy of that?
Yes, I've got a note here to send the HCA contract out. So I'll make sure you get a copy of that. We just got that in.
Mm-hmm.
So I will make sure you have a copy of it, because it is quite interesting. And again, like Lori said, I think there's a lot more accountability with this contract than we've had in the past, because the prior contracts didn't look like this.
Okay, thank you.
And I don't know when they, Bob, do you know when they separated them?
It's always been separate, but I've never seen it in a while.
And then we need to clarify whether or not once we exhaust that fund, that we go back to the general fund.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't think based on our numbers that we would exceed this, but if you start putting staff cost in there for their time that they spend with the HCA people, for us, that could be a lot, because we have more cases.
And that's a real thing. I also wonder what funding model they used to create that, to come up with that number.
I've never seen a call for that. Have you? As far as I know, they've never had calls to discuss an HCA allocation.
I have gotten nothing regarding HCA allocations at all.
And I don't, like I said, I don't get that stuff because we're not the SIP, but Bob would have gotten it probably if there was an actual allocation committee or anything like that, I would think.
No, I haven't heard anything.
I've never seen anything.
Because if I don't get it, Bob gets it and Bob sends it to me, but I've gotten nothing with HCA allocations or any kind of meeting on it either. So.
And especially if it's been going on for a while, because this says revised August of 2018, so it's been happening for a while.
Yeah, and I'm concerned that we've actually underutilized those funds for several years now.
So I wonder, is it a fund that you have to send the money back, use it or lose it, or do you get to roll it over?
No, I think it's a use it or lose it situation, because nothing, they haven't?
For HCA, not like SEP.
So is this
I didn't hear what Bob said.
Michael, the money comes every month. Once a month, and it's an exact amount that comes every month. And when we were audited, they didn't even ask about this. They didn't even like audit this portion of it.
And I'm waiting, because that's going to be something that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think if the state, Christy, sends an audit on us down, I think we're going to have to get Dixon and Waller involved at some point, too, on that piece.
That's where he caught showing that how we didn't expend any of the money last year or the year before, I think it was.
Which I'm shocked, because SEP, we don't get to retain that fund anymore, so I'm wondering why the HCA gets left behind.
Because maybe it's Department of Human Services.
DHS is not.
Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised that as picky as the SEP auditor is, he didn't notice that we were working HCA cases with SEP money.
Yeah, because Christy, do you remember if Olenberger made any comments about that?
He didn't. He didn't. It's probably because there was no expenditures for it, and the revenue is just sitting in our receivable. Actually, no, it's in the payable account. I'm sorry, it's in the payable account, to where the money's just sitting there, saying due to the state because we haven't spent it.
Christy, I'm going to ask, but one time he did say, you guys don't have many HCA cases. That's why you don't have HCA mileage. I want to say he just threw that out there, and I wasn't going to.
Okay. Yes. Yep. It was my first audit with him, so if he said that, I didn't really catch that.
When he comes and gets me to ask me for things, he'll throw that out.
Christy, do you happen to have a balance on that HCA fund? And if not, can you get one for us, what we've received? Oh, sure. Christy, did we lose you?
Oh, sorry about that. I said, I will get you one.
Okay.
Okay, awesome. I will get you one.
That'll work. And then, Sheila, you and I and Bob, Lori probably need to, and Laura probably need to gather and figure out what we're going to do with this.
Yeah. Sounds like we all have a lot to learn about this new contract.
Well, you know, the more Christy and I dig into things, the more things we find. So,
exactly.
The real thing at this point. Okay, so we'll move on that then. We've got a little bit of research to do, but at least we've got some idea where we need to go now. Next one, HCA monthly monitoring. Lori, I'll let you kind of take the lead on this.
Hey, Michael, I'm going to leave. I just want to tell you that, okay, because I have another meeting at 11.
No worries. Thank you, Christy, for hopping on this morning.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Okay, Lori.
Okay, I just wanted to mention on the Exhibit E to the contract, it has the administrative monitoring tool for HCA and AFC, which is Adult Foster Care Program Implementation. We do not have any adult foster care homes in either county, so we don't need to worry about that. But on number 7, it says, agency has a method to determine that clients are receiving specified services at least monthly. And so I'm interpreting this, and I could be wrong, but that we're going to have to do monthly monitoring of utilization of services like this in the SEP contract. And so with that being said, I just wanted to ask the group, how would you like to do this? Warfano, you have the majority of the cases. Mary, you and I have talked about, should we just collect a timesheet from the clients and review that and document that into our bus logna so it's evidence that we are doing this task? Or should we be calling these clients monthly just to make sure that they're receiving services? So I'm open for discussion, but from Mary and from staff on how they would like to implement this particular item on this document.
This is F1, Mary had put on, because she goes, I have a microphone that they use timesheets. I would prefer that just because I feel like it's a little more accountability.
To do timesheets?
Yes.
Okay.
Lori, this is Camilla, and I agree with Ethelyn and Mary on that.
Okay. Is Mary also saying timesheets?
Yeah, she put it on her little chat thing saying that they used to use HCA timesheets for monitoring.
Okay. And then Warfano County has timesheets in place. Should we just utilize those so we don't have to reinvent the wheel? Is that agreeable to everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
I would prefer to do that, the consistency between the programs, because if we do get audited on anything, I'd rather us have the same components so that it's cohesive across both counties.
Okay.
So if Warfano's already doing that, so Sheila, I would ask if you or Mary have that, if you would share that.
I have it.
You have it? Okay.
I have it.
And then let's just make that a standing piece. I would assume that would be the best practice.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Is there any questions on HCA as we look at this? And at some point I did mention to Mary, I would like Mary to do a training for the staff if possible. She is the HCA expert. And so if she could help me train Los Animas County so that we have consistency across the board in the HCA program, I would appreciate that.
I'm fine with that if Mary's good with it.
Yep, Mary said I can do that.
Perfect. Thank you. That's all I have on this.
Thanks, Mary. Lori, if you and Mary would get together and give me some dates and times for those, and then I can get a scheduled, I can schedule it through Zoom, if that works for everyone. And we can take care of that. Okay. All right. And then item five on this agenda is SEP member fraud. And I know, Sheila, I'm sure you have been in a lot of those meetings, but I just want to make everyone aware that the state is really, really pushing back on the counties regarding monitoring fraud in all units, but specifically cash assistance is the main one. And we know that cash assistance feeds into some of our, well, into all of our SEP members. Part of the problem is that at a federal level, they're mandating that the state get down to a certain fraud percentage rate, which means that the counties need to get down there as well. And Sheila, I'm just reaching out to you to see what kind of resources or support are you guys utilizing as far as fraud investigation, and is there anything that we might be able to assist with on our end and vice versa?
We don't have a fraud investigator.
Okay.
At all. We have a child support worker that does it on cases that, like eligibility cases, that we are 100% sure that there's something going on, but we just don't have the staff to do it.
Okay.
So we do very little fraud investigation.
And we do currently have a dedicated individual that handles fraud investigation, and we have a secondary individual here with our child care program who's also getting involved in that, because we've identified some fraud between that and MedTrans. So we're planning on getting both of them trained by the state. And I had just met with the director for economic security this last week regarding fraud. And so they're going to try and set up a training for us virtually. So not that we want to put it on all staff, but if anybody would be interested in at least getting some info about fraud so that as you're working cases, you can be a little more aware of that to turn it over to us, then we'd be glad to do that.
For one entity, I think our fraud.
If you let me know when that is, Michael, I think Jill would like to sit in on that. Like I said, she doesn't do a lot because she just doesn't have time because she does child support full time. But I think it would be good for her to sit in just to see what the state has to say.
Absolutely. And Bob is correct in this, and him and I have kind of gone back and forth, and I think Lori and I had this discussion earlier that Sheila, in regards to the fraud itself, because we are one team in this process and we have the MOU, that we would actually utilize our fraud investigators to assist you guys as well. So that might be helpful as well when we can investigate, because they can access either county within those systems to check for fraud. So we should be able to assist in that as well. So if you guys would have any fraud concerns, feel free to turn that over to us as well.
Okay. And I don't believe that we have in SEP that I'm aware of. We do have a little bit of eligibility stuff that we deal with, but.
Okay.
Mary, do you know of any that we've had in SEP? She must not be able to hear me.
She said no, not that she's aware of.
Okay.
I just want to add that they added a whole section to the contract on fraud this time, and it's now a deliverable, so we have to complete a suspected fraud written notice form, and I don't think we've gotten that form yet. So just letting everybody know that if they have fraud, they need to let me know so I can fill out this deliverable and also state what this form looks like.
I'll be in SharePoint.
Okay. All right. Marie, anything else on fraud, Bob?
No, there's a whole section on what to do with fraud.
Okay. Yeah. And when we do that training on the SEPS contract and we review that, let's focus on that piece too.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Anything else from the group? All right. So the last piece of this that I'm going to share, Sheila, and one of the things that the audit came back with when I spoke with OIT and the Office of Compliance, as we have these quarterly meetings, they would like for us to really track exactly what the discussions are around, and that we're actually trying to leverage and build the program up. And so one of the things that I created and I'm sharing with you on your screen, I hope everyone can see, this is an assessment of programs quarterly review. And so when we meet, this will be a process that we can modify or change. So if you guys have suggestions or want to modify anything, let me know. But this is just a way for us to kind of run through the programming that we offer through Single Entry Point. I've had both Bob and Lori look at this to make sure that we have everything listed that needs to be on here. Again, if we need to add, we can, delete, we can. But this is just a way for us to kind of track and make sure we're all on target with services and processes.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one up is HCBS EBD. So authorizations and approvals. Are you guys feeling like we're getting these completed timely? And I kind of put that to the staff. So are you guys feeling like you're comfortable with it? Are you getting stuff done on time?
Yes, Debbie Barros is amazing at getting DSS ones back, I have to say.
Okay. And then our coordination plans up to date? Are we feeling comfortable with all of that? Monitoring? Any issues with program evals or reassessments or redeterms? Mary's saying, yes, I monitor all intake and CSRs. So that's good to know. Any of the other staff have concerns?
I'm going to go ahead and interject because okay. I know I have staff here come to me. Right now we're in a position of realigning cases. So we're training our new staff member, Debbie Berry, so that she'll be able to assume a full-time caseload. So I think the lack of staff and until we get her fully trained, that hampers our ability to meet deadlines. The turnover in staff in the past has hampered our ability. So I think hopefully once we get her trained, this is going to be easier because staff is apt to manage higher caseloads than they normally would. So it's difficult when that happens.
Okay.
To meet any of these requirements.
To meet any of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I know, Sheila, in your neck of the woods, you guys are kind of a one-man show in some regards. Two-man, three-man, what do we
got? Two and a half.
Mary?
Two and a quarter we have.
Two and a quarter.
She has Mary, Dawn, and...
Oh, that's right, Dawn. And
And then Hallie's here 2.5 days a week.
Okay. But for us, so at least for Los Angeles County then, really the turnover and has hindered that. And that's across the board as far as assessments, reassessments, redeterms, all
everything.
Of that, everything. Okay.
It affects everything. If you're spread out too thin, particularly.
Okay. Same thing with EBD and CDAS. Are you feeling the same thing across the board then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all areas? Okay. Are there any concerns in Huerfano on any of the other programs, or are you guys feeling comfortable with that as well? So then again, that includes EBD, LTHH. What else do we have? HCBS, CMHS. And HCA. Sheila, how's your team dealing with, I mean, you guys have a high volume of HCA cases. Is just one caseworker managing that, or do you have multiples?
We have, everybody has a few HCA cases, and everybody has SEP cases and nursing home cases.
Okay.
Right, Mary? They're all split up. I believe they split them.
And Mary did indicate that as far as Huerfano, she feels like you guys are all on track with all programs, so that's good to know.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they're having any issues at all.
Okay.
So yes, we do all. Hallie does not have any HCA yet.
Yet, okay. All right. Let's see, what else do I have on here? And then one of the other things that, Sheila, that we'd like to, we track here, and so I'll be glad to enter this and share this document back out, is that we do keep a monthly count of all the cases. Bob gives me that report each month to take to our board of directors. Are you needing that information to report out to your board as well?
No, because we're not the single entry point agency. I mean, okay. I could, but I don't. I never have reported that to them. Mary sends you our count.
Yes,
and
we
get
do
a
get
copy
that.
Of that, but I don't need a total count for my board.
Okay.
And the state just wants a total. They don't want it broken down.
So we will put those in here from month to month, just so that we can make sure that we track all of that piece. So outside of that, really, if everyone's feeling comfortable with the programming piece, then that's really all I had. Sheila, did you have anything that you wanted to bring to attention today?
I didn't.
Okay. Lori, anything else?
Good to have this information, though, because SEP's always been kind of we just go by the seat of our pants with the financial side, because it was always just the contract that was a flat amount.
And we will make sure that we, again, as we move forward in the partnership, Sheila, is that we as a unified group come together quarterly and at any time, please, anybody, if you have questions or concerns, feel free to reach out to myself, reach out to Bob, reach out to Lori. We will do whatever we can to, if we don't have an answer, we'll find it for you. But either way, we just want to make sure that we're all on the same page with the programming and that we're all feeling like we are communicating effectively and transparent about the changes and any of the new policies that the contract sets forth. So I just want to make sure that on my end, I'm supporting Huerfano County as much as possible. So whatever I can do, please let me know.
Yeah, this is great. I think this is good information for me to have because, like I said, I think it's good for the workers to know all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And Laura, being new, needs as much information as possible. So this is really helpful.
And Laura, I would tell you right now that on the finance side of the house, if you have any questions regarding some of the processes or some of the financial pieces of it, feel free to reach out to Christy. I'll send you her contact information. As well as Jolynn. Jolynn couldn't be with us on this call. Jolynn's our lead account clerk here. She handles our accounts payable, so she's the one that does handle your payroll distribution on the quarterly. So if you have any questions or concerns, reach out to either of them, and they'll be glad to set up time to go over those pieces so that you can have a better understanding of it.
That'd be great, Michael. Yeah, and I have spoken with Jolynn.
All right.
I'm not saying that right, but yeah, I've spoken with her.
Jolynn. Jolynn.
Jolynn, yeah.
I know I called her Jolynn one day, and so I just call her Jo now. Makes my life easier. All right. Well, let's see. Mary had a comment. I'm now being paid by what is entered into the bus. Yes, you're correct. As far as I understand the contract, we are now being paid by what is entered into the bus. So, and then just a reminder, though, that there and deliverables, but then also reminding the group that there was a provider rate cut that took place as well. So we are going to have a little bit of an impact in single entry point this coming year.
A 1%.
And it was a 1%, yeah.
I have two comments.
Okay, Lori has a couple comments. I'll let her.
One thing is next week there's a technical assistance visit, a webinar or Google or Zoom, one of those. And at first they digested in the first call some of the administrative part of the contract. Now they're kind of going over the service functions of the contract, so it'd be probably helpful to have all case management staff be required to sit in on that, and I believe it's the 15th. And so we can make sure that everybody has access to that. And then also, too, I need from Huerfano County and from all my case managers any complaints that have been received in regards to staff, agency, single entry point for this region. I need those as soon as possible so I can fill out that deliverable.
Best to my knowledge, we haven't had any, but Mary might know something I don't, but I've not gotten any complaints about SIP.
We want to put at least one thing in there because I think that's worth like $3,000 to us twice a year. So, but I already have one thing. So
they want people to complain about us and they're going to pay us for that? What?
But you know, hey, if they say I can reach my worker, hey, I'm putting it down.
Oh, well, Mary might have some of that, but I've not gotten any calls. So, but she may have. I'll let her respond to that.
Okay, perfect.
And Mary did indicate that she sends the Excel worksheet quarterly to Lori, so
okay.
You should be
getting that. Yeah, because I'll need that. That's due this month. The 31st, Bob, or the 15th? I think it's the 31st.
I don't know, 15th or the 31st.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then also, too, Mary, just so you know, they changed the training requirements. I was getting ready to send in our deliverable on training for casework staff, which would have been due June 30th, but the state said we already did it for the year because we did it last July and we did it in January. They're changing it now. It's due in December and it's due in June. So that's another deliverable that's worth money to us, but we don't have to do it right now. So we've kind of got a free pass on that right now.
And you said they changed that from what months?
From July and January to June and December, if I'm not mistaken.
July and January to June and December?
Mm-hmm. And I know, yeah.
Okay.
And the advisory meeting is due in June for the staff advisory and resource development. That's another deliverable. Appeals is now a new deliverable, but we'll go over this all individually in training.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, if nobody else has any other comments, thank you guys so much. I appreciate everybody, and I appreciate you taking your Friday to meet with us, and I wish you all a happy weekend.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Michael, for putting this together.
Yep.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. You're welcome.
Bye, bye-bye. Guys.
Sorry, Michael. I have to take my new contract and highlight it like the rough draft contract. Let's see what changes are there.
And we
are.
I
don't have time to go back and do that.
Yeah, yours were. I was shocked. But I think that went really well.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And this long-term home health piece of it, when Brittany and Victor came from school in July of 2019, they did a cross-the-board training for my staff. They indicated that long-term home health would go away, and it hasn't, and I feel like that's a program we do that we have no idea if we're doing it right or not, and no one at the state knows, and I think the person that was there that didn't know just left.
So, wait, am I shocked? No.
I think it was Gwendolyn Blodgett or something. So I don't know if they replaced it.
Well, if you didn't know, Lori, I'm actually only here for another week, and then I'm gone, too.
Don't tell me that. So, I know, isn't that funny? That's how the health...
Bob told me when I got here, he was like, just be prepared. Everyone at the state changes all the time.
I know. That's what I tell my staff. I tell them, you as a new worker probably have more seniority now than...
Half the state does.
Mm-hmm. Half of us just make up the answers. Trying to use common sense.
So my question to you would be then, if we were doing an assessment measurement, because that was one of the things I noticed in the audit was they wanted, when we have these meetings, an assessment of the program levels, the deliverables.
Mm-hmm.
If we've had issues with some of the programming because of the turnover, I guess my concern would be...
What would I grade it?
What would we grade it? And so what I did was I created, so this has a drop-down menu, excellent, good, fair, needs improvement, or poor. And so right now, if we looked at HCBS EBD, right, we know that DSS ones are completed timely. Thank God, how did you really get their shit together? Thank God Debbie's there. But because of the lack of staff and turnover, it's hindered the processes for Los Angeles County, at least.
Yeah, not with DSS ones, but what I'm thinking about when I look at our computer system, employees may be entering things, but they are not going back and finalizing them, and that we would be cited for.
Okay, so...
They're not verifying and they're not finalizing, and it's because they're not having time to pay for it, pay attention to detail.
Okay, so say that again. Tell me that one more time.
That due to the lack of staff... Employees are not paying attention to details, and they're not verifying and finalizing cases in a timely manner. And that would be assessments and care plans and IEDs, and myself included.
So that's something we definitely need to work on. So. And that's across all programs, you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think Evelyn's good at that, and I think Camilla was good till
she
a few
lead.
Months ago.
Till we moved her to lead?
No, before that.
Okay.
I think it's just because everybody's really got a lot on their plate right now. But now that Debbie's here, I've got to look at if I have touched all the training areas. I think I have to make sure it's...
Hey. Got that
computer set up?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, that makes me a little concerned then. And so I'm wondering, she was just saying now that she's concerned because of the staffing issues we've had, that the cases aren't technically timely.
Because we're not verifying and finalizing. Like, I see cases in edit mode, and they tell staff you've got to finalize those because now the contract's looking at it, and that's just because staff have been really spread out. They get them in.
It should be a matter of whether the contract's or not.
Mm-hmm. But they can't be doing these high level of cases.
No.
And then what happens is they send their DSS-1, they get it back, and they forget to go back and finalize.
Well, and I had to laugh yesterday because the state had a meeting. I can't remember what we were in there for. And somebody was, it was for the APS sub-PAC committee. And one of the big counties was bitching and complaining, and they're like, well, my staff have 55 cases, and it's too many. They can't handle that. And I went, ours are carrying 75 to 80.
Yeah.
I said, and there's a little bit here and there. I said, but they're handling 75 to 80 cases, so.
Yeah.
And they were kind of like, oh, well. And I said,
well,
we don't have that kind of staffing.
And that's the thing, too, because I remind my staff, too, you've just got to get it done. And they'll say, but our caseloads are too high. And I'll be like, but Pueblo County has 110. But then they're like, but they'll say.
Some of the counties are way over.
They'll say they specialize.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unique to us. There are counties that are way over 75.
Mm-hmm.
And we just
dropped
them down to 75
mm-hmm.
now that we're putting
mm-hmm.
Debbie in. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So I think it's just impressing upon them. You have to finalize these cases.
But my comment to you would be, if Ethelyn is managing that. Right? And she's got 60.
Yeah.
No, she has right now. She just jumped up to 90 because I'm waiting to take cases from
okay,
her.
So she's doing child welfare and she's doing 90 cases. What is she doing that she's managing so well? I would tap into that and ask her to show you kind of what process she does, because if there's something that we can train, that she can train the other staff on,
mm-hmm.
let's utilize that skill set.
And that's a good point, because I almost wonder if she works on her cases on her own time, and we just don't see that.
Which she could be, and that's another piece, but
mm-hmm.
ultimately, I think Ethelyn just has a method to her madness.
Well, and I think
that
too,
is,
she's in her office.
I think we all do that. I mean,
she
go
does,
home and you think, oh,
Bob, I'm on my email all night. You guys
yeah.
don't see this. I do all my state emails at night because I do all my emails here in the day, because if you have questions, I'm here.
I'll be laying in bed and I'll think of something. I'll jump out of bed and go
in
at night or whatever.
But
I
still think
all of us
I still think that we need to get Ethelyn. Yeah, we've got to get Ethelyn.
Well, and I think, too, like we've just got to remind Ron, you know, you've got to verify your
family. Well, and I'm going to say something, and we kind of had this discussion the other day in your team meeting. But it's about that filing system. and this is kind of a similar situation, the processes that they're doing for case management or case assessments and getting them up and going need to be the same practice. And so if Ethelyn's got this down to a science, then utilize those skill sets, have her train the staff, show them, walk them through, because if there's tools that she's doing to make it easier that the other staff don't know, then they won't be bitching about the 75 cases. But also, that filing piece that we've talked about, I am adamant, Lori, your team has, whether or not they like it, you need to set forth that the filing system is the same for every case manager.
I am.
Because I made that a point in that meeting to say, when you guys are stepping out and somebody else has to pick up that case file, if it's not filed the way that you file it, then you're going to struggle. Like, to me, keeping volume one out here and volume two in there doesn't help. But even when Camilla's saying I put volume two in front and volume one behind, no, they've got to be the same. Volume one in front, volume two behind. And they all need to be together and kept together because it's just going to create havoc.
Well, and it's, what's interesting is we'll train this group. God help us if, let's say, three of them go, but, then we're back at it. Then we get all
But listen,
into...
this is the nature of the beast. This is what we do. We know there's going to be turnover, but but the reality is when we put down these structures, it helps facilitate less burnout because they know that, okay, I have to pick this up. I know I'm going to have a caseload increase because I, you know, one of my colleagues is out, but I know that I'll be able to manage because the file's the same. I'll be able to find everything I need. It's also going to help for mitigating lost documents because you yourself
said. What happens, Michael, is they don't ask, they don't know, they just file. Or I've had staff decide they don't like how that is. They want it somewhere else. They want their petty form with their part.
But I'll tell you right now, that's not their call. That's your call.
I know, I know. And that's why I keep, I'm training, training, training. And that's why I'm training the case aides.
But that's where the case aides can help with some of the compliance piece when they're going through those case files, but make it abundantly clear that if there's files that are not filed in a certain manner, based on what you lay out, then they need to come to you and let you know, and then you will address it with the staff.
Right.
Because then that eliminates them doing the finger pointing.
Right.
It eliminates the arguing. The resentment,
right.
But make it abundantly clear that the cases are there to help, but that also means that if they find any issues, they're going to report it to you so that they can make sure that they're helping keep everyone on track. That's the point of it.
Right, and we've had that discussion, and we're going to have it again, actually this afternoon, because we're going to talk about case filing.
So I would like all of the case files all the same.
I agree, and I've been saying that forever and ever.
And you may tell them that Michael has told me directly he wants it this way. Whether they like it or not, I don't care. And that the case aides will be helping and assisting and monitoring. And if they find that they're out of order for any reason, they're going to help fix them. But ultimately, they're responsible to let you know.
And this could be something that, I mean, one employee that was rebellious has left this agency. But if it's something that I see, it could be something that could lead to corrective action.
Correct, because the first time that they argue about it and they say no and you find out that they haven't done that, it's a verbal. Because that violates policy.
Okay.
The policy is if the supervisor gives a direct order and they refuse to follow that guideline, it's a violation of policy.
Okay.
And you do a verbal.
Make sure you give them a copy of the filing board so they know
what they're doing. It's on the rack. Everybody has access to it. Sometimes but sometimes professionals just think they're going to do what they want to do, but you just have to bring them back and say.
You know, my mom used to tell me it doesn't matter how old you get, you always have to have somebody that's going to put things in order for you.
Yeah.
And into perspective. The way she put it was, you always need to be afraid of somebody. And my mom said, that's me.
Yeah.
But now she's gone, so.
It's you.
I guess it's
me. And so, yeah.
But no matter what I want,
yeah.
I told Michelle the same thing. I've told Val the same thing. I'm telling you the same thing.
Well, and it's when they're...
It lends to consistency.
Well, and it's usually me who's going to look for a case
because
they're out of the office.
And you can't punch it.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, just a minute, where is that? Is it, it should be here, but it's not there, so is it here or here?
The filing order that you said is in that wall mount, right? We have it right there?
Mm-hmm.
Are they inside each folder? Do they put a copy of that on the folder?
No.
I would have the case aides go through every single file and attach one of those to the front, tape it to the front of the folder, so that every time they pull the file, it's sitting right in front of them. make it a resource for them. Put that filing piece right. I used to take the filing orders, if they had it filed in certain sections, I'd tape it to the front of my folder. So every time I pulled a case,
two-page document. Right.
Even if it's on the first section when they open it,
okay.
Wherever they put it, just have them attach it.
Okay.
And just tell the staff, these are going to be put into every single file.
Okay.
And you are responsible to make sure you follow this filing method. Okay. And when the case
aides
get in.
You're preaching to the choir. I've been preaching.
But here's the thing. You preached it, but you didn't have the backing on it. So now I'm telling you.
Well, now I have two case aides who are going to do this for me. Ultimately, the caseworker's responsible, and when they see things are going to come to me, and I'm going to come to the caseworker. But I think the thing is, I've got to get everybody's workloads manageable.
But the more
and then
you...
we need time to do the QA.
Right, but the thing is, Lori, is once you start aligning all of these little things,
mm-hmm.
it's less of a headache, so mm-hmm. they actually do have time to do their job. And that's the problem. These are little fires that don't need to exist, and that's the battles
mm-hmm.
we're picking and choosing that don't need to. It's not a battle.
Yeah, to me, this is a minor thing.
You
this
won this battle. You've already got the file.
Yeah, I agree.
So use the Michael card.
And now I just need to find time where we start all the quality control of cases.
But that's part of what the case aides can be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the QA is making sure that the files are in order.
Mm-hmm.
But that also means, because Sherry's going to comment about a lot, they would file her correctly. I get that the caseworkers may not have everything organized right away in the case that they're working, but if the cases are sitting in their drawers and they're not working that case right now, that case file better be up to date and it better be in order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where these guys can be going in and saying, hey, I know you're working on these, but do you want me to run through your other case files and make sure that everything's in there and everything's done and everything's in order?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a process that the case aides need to be doing consistently. Because
definitely.
That lends to the QA, because then ultimately we're not going to have any oversight. You said Tuesday that
mm-hmm.
there's missing documents from some of the folders that should be in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when they do, that's why we've got to keep volume ones.
Right.
So we keep those original documents to go to volume two. That's what's missing. Yeah.
So they can be checking all of that and making sure all of that's in there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then they can say, okay, they can make a list of, yep, this is missing, this is missing, this is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then hand it back to the case manager and say, hey, went ahead and got everything organized for you. This is kind of some of the stuff I found. And then it's back in the ball is in their court for the caseworker to actually go in and get those forms or whatever they're missing and make sure they get into that file.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to keep them on track. And then they won't be bitching and complaining about the caseloads because they won't be battling all of these little things that they're battling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just streamline that process. But
yeah, we're already working on that and re-educating because, you know, like I said, when Ethelyn came in and Ron came in, we were down 3 or 4 staff. There's nothing like having half of your staff go
gone.
At one time.
No,
and then you throw them in because you can't monitor details. You're doing...
You're preaching to this choir. When I was at the university, I had a girl at Fort Carson. She was so good at what she did that we became the premier on-post university. She was turning students into programs left and right. We went from when I started there, we had 14 students on the books. When I left now, we had over 400 students on the books
mm-hmm.
at Fort Carson, just at Fort Carson.
Mm-hmm.
She was one person, and she managed every case from start to finish. That's financial aid, that's admissions, that's scheduling, that's advising, that's getting...
Is she retired or...?
No, she's still there.
Oh, good. Okay.
But she was able to handle, but it was all based on the fact that I told her, these are how I want the file set up.
Mm-hmm.
And she, every time a student came in, she set the file up exactly the same way right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime there was an issue, she'd pull that file, she'd open it up, it had 4 different sections. Every section was financial aid, admissions, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be able to pull that document, scan it, send it, whatever, and she was able to manage 400 students
mm-hmm.
and every single need that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no qualms.
Right.
So it's those little processes.
Mm-hmm.
But
and we are.
You've got to get more service.
No, I know. What I need is I need to have time to do those case reviews, to sit down with the worker and say, wrong, fix it. You know, I'm documenting it, and then I'm coming back next month. I'm looking at cases.
Right, but this is a process that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell them, look, there's no more argument. This is how the cases are going to be set up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the next month or whatever time frame you think is appropriate, the caseworker, you tell the caseworkers, you need to go and check your files, make sure they're all up in order and up to date. And if you need the case aides to help, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of that time, I'm going to sit with each of you and we're going to spot check files.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you time to put them on alert,
mm-hmm.
to get their stuff in order,
mm-hmm.
puts the ball in their court, puts the case aides on notice that they're going to have a ball in their court to get stuff done,
mm-hmm.
eliminates that worry for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get that done. But set timelines for them and schedule on your calendar and send them an invite right away. This day, case file review.
Mm-hmm.
Just put it out
mm-hmm.
if it's 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an idea too because I've got to get through July right now.
I know.
Yeah,
that's
and,
why I said.
And that's why I'm stressing
but it,
right
but
now. My
it,
stress level is just
it,
going like this.
It takes it off of you right now.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I see that in the future. It's just getting from point A to point B.
Right, so just set point B out,
mm-hmm.
but put the ball in their court to get it done
yeah.
in that time.
Yeah.
And then forget about
because
it, Lori.
That's what we have to do is we have to start doing quality control and start calling them on it and sitting with them and telling them this is your
correct.
Misunderstanding.
Because,
I mean, I'm trying to explain to staff how to figure out certification dates. That's something that's so easy. Somehow, like, Ron got off. Or Karen got off, or we're seeing cases where Brenda got off, and we're fixing those.
What time's our next one? Until 1?
12.
Oh, like 20
yeah.
minutes.
Or are you doing the HCBS case management webinars where the state's just updating us? It's
oh, I wanted to, you, but
oh,
you got
okay.
redlined and I never got the invite.
Okay, let me send
so
that to you.
Send that.
Okay. It's not like a lot of information, but it's helpful.
When you meet, are you meeting with your staff today about this?
No.
No, okay.
Because two of them are off.
Yeah.
Noah's out of
office. If and when you do that, if you want me there,
okay.
I will be more than glad to be there and explain the reasoning why we're doing this.
Okay.
Because I don't want you to feel alone in this.
Oh, no, it's not that, Michael. I don't feel alone. My
no.
thought is I need to make sure my staff know it before I can hold them accountable for it.
And that's the real thing, and that's what I'm saying. So we'll sit down with them, we'll educate them and tell them,
mm-hmm.
but put them on alert that in
mm-hmm.
2 months' time, I'm going to start doing spot checks with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect you to have all of your files up to date
mm-hmm.
and put them on alert.
Okay. So, and that's where they're, like, so excited when I'm like, give me a file. And then I'm telling them, too, don't take files to Debbie. I want to see
no.
those files.
No.
And I'm working out dates, and I don't want them to give them all the problem cases. I want to look at those files, make sure they're right. But that takes time.
Right.
And then if there's issues, I need them to correct them, so I have to give them back the files. So that's my other little task I'm working on right now. So.
What do I need to do to help support you?
Nothing. Just not add anything to my plate right now. It's pretty full.
And I just added, like, 4 things to your plate.
But, yeah,
okay.
I just need to work through this. I need to get those deliverables done. I need to get a couple things done for the state. We've got APS audits coming up, and I need to work through moving cases to give some staff relief, and I need to work on my own cases and get those moved. I need to have plenty of time is what I need.
Well, I'll at least do this. So I added the file piece to you, but I'll take this off the plate. You get those cases of yours moved when you can get them moved.
Thank you.
Don't rush them.
Okay, thank you. That will keep me from having a heart attack.
Okay.
Okay.
Just get them off at some point.
I will.
Even if it's at the first of the year.
Okay.
So do what you need to with that. But if there's something else you need me to help with, you need to tell me.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm so used to
doing it on your own.
Bandaging it and
doing
what needs to be done. But the contract is different now. So we have to have accountability.
This yeah.
It's a whole new ballgame now.
And I think the main thing will be that we need to just review that contract with the staff. That's the main thing right now,
mm-hmm.
with Mary and those guys sitting at the computer.
They sat in, so most of them sat in on the technical assistance call last month, so that, or last week or so was one. The first one was more administrative, so now the third one I think will finish with programmatic, and I think they'll touch on the fraud.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well,
thank you, Michael.
please forgive me right now.
You don't have to. Why are you apologizing for what? What have you done?
I mean, I just feel like I'm just, I don't know what the word I want to use. Like, I might seem a little short, but I just have a lot on my plate. I know what I have to do right now.
And I trust you to handle it. And like I said, but you need to communicate with me if you're struggling.
Yeah.
Definitely. So that I can step in and out.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
I trust you.
Okay.
I know you got this.
Well, same here. Yeah, I'll get it.
I know.
Yeah, because I know freedom is on the other side of this.
It is, and...
And I've been living for that for a long, long time.
You've been living it a lot longer than I have, but I've only been here 4.5 months, and I'm ready for it already.
Yeah, yeah. So right. I just want to keep these staff and get them trained.
And I think, you know what, I think right now...
And
one of
things manageable for them, different staff have different strengths.
They do. But the thing that I think you need to realize now is where we were at in February, we had a much higher risk of some of the staff walking away.
Mm-hmm.
And where we're at right now, it's not that same.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a piece you just need to flush away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, but I still have that risk.
Everybody does.
Everybody does. I know. So, thank you.
You survived worse than 3.